United America Network, meeting we the people where you are in life, at the four-way intersection of art, culture, politics, and entertainment. This is Period Dot, fearless conversation and unapologetic truth-telling with Sweet Baby J. Now, from the UAN studios, here she is, Sweet Baby J.
Welcome, beautiful people, to the very first episode of Period Dot, politics, culture, conversation with rhythm in its hips and fire in its belly, baby. I'm your host, Sweet Baby J. Why Period Dot? I ask myself that too, because when we say something here, it's not a comma, it's not a pause, it's a full stop, drop mic, don't argue with the truth, Period Dot. Now, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it, baby. Now, let me tell you about what this space is. We're about cutting through the noise. We're about lifting up voices. You don't always hear on the 6 o'clock news, right? So we're going to laugh. We're going to love politics, protests, and yes, sometimes a little trouble. Because let's be real, change never came from playing it safe. Everywhere I look, somebody's trying to erase our stories, whether it's in the classrooms, the courtrooms, or the boardrooms. They're banning our books, everything from my favorite Toni Morrison to Amanda Gorman's inaugural poem, The Hill We Climb. A mother in Florida decided that her 7-year-old couldn't handle the truth of a black woman standing in her own brilliance on the stage. And just like that, the book got pulled from the elementary school shelves. Oh, Period Dot, baby. They're rewriting curriculums so slavery sounds like job training. They're stripping back voting rights and gutting affirmative action. And in boardrooms, they're quietly pulling DEI budgets like diversity was just a pandemic fad. Hollywood's still here whitewashing, telling our stories with somebody else's face. Mm. Well, not here. This mic, it's sacred ground. This is where we see each other, where we hear each other, and celebrate the messy, the complicated, gorgeous lives that we're living. Oh, yeah, baby. Let me tell you, here's how we're going to be rolling. Every week, we'll bring in artists, activists, thinkers, truth tellers, maybe even a few hellraisers. We're going to laugh, disagree, clap back, and we'll keep it moving because life is too short not to talk about the things that matter and too long not to have some fun along the way. So let's drop down on some stuff. Hot takes. Uh-oh. What's the tea? Uh-huh. Spotlight our guest. Closing notes. This is for you. This is the place where you can tune in, laugh, do a side eye, learn something, and leave with a little more fire in your belly than when you came. All right? On a personal note, I got John up in this joint. John is handling all the stuff. So let me tell you about John. So he's not only the, daddy, right? But he's handling the board. He's got all the music all up in the house. He's doing everything. He is what we call the resident.
That's John, right. Is Chief Engineer Queer.
There you go. Okay. Chief Engineer Queer. Chief Engineer Queer. That was a glimpse of who we've got waiting for you. And I want you to just think about it for a moment. You heard the voice, right? Let me tell you something. Sometimes people are asking me, why did you decide to do this show, right? And I grew up in a house where conversation actually saved lives, really. Around my family table, music, politics, gossip all got stirred up together like a gumbo, baby. You put the shrimp in, you put the andouille sausage in, you got all of those spices, a big old stew, and you never knew if you were about to get a story, a sermon, or a side eye. But you always knew you were going to leave with something to chew on. And let me ask you this. You know what? For those who are saying side eye, because I know that some of you out there may not even know what the hell I'm talking about. I can say that, John. I can say hell. Hell. I love that. I say it a lot these days with politics. But, you know, if you're asking what's a side eye, that's a great question. A side eye is both a look and a vibe. So when you have your head straight up, and you turn your eyes to look at somebody, like I'm looking at my guest right now. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
You give me a side eye.
Yeah, I'm giving you a side eye without moving your head. And you usually raise a brow with a little squint. That's a side eye, baby. It's a nonverbal way of showing doubt, shade, or really? Did you just do that or say that? It can be playful. It can be sharp. But we use it a lot here. It's a side eye, baby. So now we can go on. All right, so let's start with hot takes, because we're going to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Jimmy versus Donald. Everybody knows Jimmy Kimmel is living rent-free in Donald's head. I mean, you know, and it's not about Jimmy Kimmel, because that can be old news in a week or so, right? It is about freedom of speech. It is about the moment that we're living in. Mm. So my people called Jimmy's people to see if we could get him on this very show. Mm. My people being, I have a lot of people living in my head, right? I do. You know what? It's Sweet Baby. It's Baby Jay. It's Jay. It's all kind of people living in my head.
Never walk alone.
Never walk alone, baby. One of them called Jimmy, and we found out Jimmy couldn't be here until maybe next November. I said, oh, no, baby. No.
Popular.
No, he's all booked up, y'all. So what do? We pivot. My people found another comedian. Yes, one that Trump will be trolling soon enough, baby, and she's sitting right here in this room. You heard a little bit of her. Okay, so we're going to talk about a little bit of Kamala watch. We got a little Jimmy. We got a little Kamala watch because Kamala's got her book out. She's throwing shade. She's out there moving like Beyonce on a Renaissance tour, shaking hands, dropping one-liners, and making folks rethink 2024. Love her or side-eyed her, you can't deny sis got some energy, baby. She writes that her own successes were brushed aside by Biden's team. Harris claims that the inner circle operated with zero-sum mentality. Now, what does that mean? So I'll tell you what, we're all going to read her book, and we're going to come back here and discuss it, okay? Because we're going to get some juicy drops on that. And then let's talk about pop culture beat. There's Beyonce. Now, everybody's talking about her going country and keeping it 100. Right? Black folks been country, period, dot, since the beginning of time.
Where cowboys came
country?
From.
Hello.
The word cowboy, it comes from black cowboys.
Where do you think it comes from? In the 1700s, it was just about tending cows during the American Revolution. So this is what I'm talking about. We're going to be dropping some gems, but we can't drop them like it's hot. Unless we bring our first guest up in the house. So let me tell you something. Wait. What's the tea, baby? What is the tea? She's sharp. She's fearless. She's funny as hell. She's toured the world. She's multilingual. And she never holds back when the truth needs telling. So please welcome the one that Donald Trump is going to be trolling soon enough. The diva with the mic, Miss Mimi Gonzalez.
Les. Thank you for ending with the Z. It ends in the word Les. My last name ends in Les.
There you go.
Because I am a Les, which are the last two words in Gonzalez, not less. It doesn't end in S. Does not end in S. I am not less. I am
Les.
Gonzalez.
Think in terms of lesbian. There you go.
I put the Les in lesbian.
There you go. There you go.
Come get some.
I thought it would be appropriate to have you, because let me tell you, as our first guest, because laughter is medicine. We know that. And if you have to get through this crisis that we're living in, mm-hmm. I think we got to laugh. Because if you don't laugh, man, you're going to be crying the whole time. So let's find out, first of all, right? What you doing, Mimi? What you doing? Because I know you're an activist, too.
Yeah, as a Pisces, I'm crying half the time. And
yeah, of course.
I need that other fish to kind of tickle me with a gill and get me out of the crying, because it's very difficult to look at the state that we are in right now and think there's anything funny about it. I mean, what's funny about the end of the world? Okay, all endings are sad. Even a breakup that you know needs to happen, right, you're still going to cry over it.
You're still going to cry over it.
You know, and I guess America needs to have a breakup. That's the only way I'm able to process what's going on, is this country's karma. You know, D.L. Hughley said that Obama is who we could be, but Trump is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the story. When you look at how many democracies and how much ruin this government has perpetrated on the rest of the world, We're not all apple pie and blonde and blue. We really have a whole shadow and karma that it has come home to roost, you know.
Period dot, baby. That's the way it rolls.
Period dot. I know it's not funny, but, you know, life is not funny.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes either. There are things that really hurt. And what's hurting us the most, I think, is the look in the mirror. Like, we can't even stand as a nation to look in the mirror and see that this is
what we brought on ourselves. What do you mean by that?
This, when the world looks at Trump on the UN stage, on the international stage, and that's who they see representing America, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, set and point. It's done. America, you're done. You didn't even make your 250th birthday. The army did. In their, in their squeaking tanks, you know, and not enough people to fill the stands for his birthday and the Army's 250th birthday. I mean, you know, he wanted what he wanted. He wanted a goose stepping. Look at me, Kim Jong-il.
I know,
look,
girl.
Look at me, Putin.
He really wanted that whole step in time, baby. He wanted that. I mean, they do that so well. And he wanted that and the flyovers and the whole thing. And he had that sad red carpet for Putin when he got off the plane.
Yeah, but the Army, did you not take faith? Did you not have a leap of joy that the U.S. Army would not even march? They kind of sauntered.
They did.
Which
the legs were halfway up. They were not.
You know,
but
I'm
you can't blame
them.
You know what I mean? You can't blame them. I mean, this is
not
what I'm talking
all.
About. You have to find a little humor in this.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's scary. I was having a conversation the other day with a girlfriend that's been living in Europe. And I mm-hmm. said, you know, we can choose to do what we do. We have to fight, because what's happening with the Democrats now, we have no power. And so you see your elected leaders and you're saying, first of all, they're underwater. The Democrats are underwater. And it's like, okay, what can we do to get back out of that hole? Because people are feeling so dejected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are feeling like, I can't do anything. So because there's no one saying what we can do, because we're getting punched mm-hmm. every day, all day, by this ridiculous regime, this authoritarianism. And it
yeah.
is baffling, and you just fall out. And so you say to yourself, what can I do? And I was having a conversation, as I said, with a friend who moved, like Rosie. Rosie got out of town, honey, because
mm-hmm.
she knew.
Yeah.
You know, she should have pre-warned all of us, because, you know.
Well, and she's on the top of his list for women to hate just because they're fat.
That's
I mean,
right.
That's how lame he is.
Yes.
That's how much he can't stand to look in the mirror.
It is so true. And so you have like I was discussing with our friend, you have a choice here. You can hide and, you know, sort of bury your head in the sand, waiting for the Nazis to come, hoping they don't discover you. You can sort of be a Harriet Tubman approach. I'm going to escape from this
and come back another day
and bring
fight.
Some with me.
That's right.
And I'm gonna Harriet Tubman.
That's right.
Brought some with her.
That's
she
exactly right.
She didn't just
right.
take off. She said, "I'm gonna make sure I can get as many through."
And she kept coming back.
Yeah,
grabbing them with her.
That's
or you could be like Nina Simone and pick up a mic and say, "Mississippi, goddamn!" In the '60s, she was all over it, punching and punching and
that's
punching.
That's right.
And so you can make a choice. Everybody's got a choice to make. And, you know, I have a friend that also, she's in her 90s. I love telling this story because she's in her 90s. And she said, "Oh, geez, I thought I was finished fighting. I guess I have to open my closet and dust off those signs again and get back out there."
So your 90-year-old friend is not afraid of creaking her knees out, even in a wheelchair and holding her sign. See, that's what we need.
Yeah,
you know, believe it or not, there's an old saying, every gift comes with a curse and a blessing. And these devices that we have in our pockets, this is actually the oracle. It has the answer to anything I want to know. I go to YouTube University.
The phone.
Yeah, the phone, this object, this device is a computer.
Right.
This computer is bigger than the one that was in the Apollo spacecraft that landed back on Earth. We are walking around with the world's information in our pockets.
Very true.
And the curse is we're also walking around with instant propaganda machines.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say the most wretched things like, you know, Benjamin Franklin said, "Never trust a tweet." Because you know that's
he visited you one night
exactly. You know, these are bumper stickers that I've seen crossing the country, and I really think that the blessing is that I can film what's happening around me right now and prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
The curse is that I can lie about it too, and so people have these devices, but. These devices, you know, how do you use, what is the biblical saying? You beat swords into plowshares, right?
There you go.
So you take an object, the internet is an object that came from the military, you know, where they were communicating with each other. It was their email system.
That's
and
right.
Now it's connected the whole world. So I want to use this tool. Facebook just became a website for everybody. That's all Facebook is. Now you don't need your own website. You're in Facebook.
You can go to Facebook and use it.
And so that's one way of doing something. I mean, even if you're an armchair activist, what you're posting and what you're talking about is, you know, who, Alexis, isn't she the one that's not the device, but...
Oh, that's my girlfriend. I talk to her all the time, every day.
Does she talk back?
Yes, she does.
Does she tell you what you want to hear?
She's been programmed. She's got younger programmers, and she's like, "Hey, baby."
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, Jay. Good morning, baby.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me ask you this, Mimi. You have been, I mean, your thing, I've heard you in your shows talking about how you cross the country, right? You get in your car and you cross the country. Well, that's a beautiful thing because you get to see everything. You get to see people, talk to people, meet people. I remember laughing at something about Kansas and its wheat. It's like, whatever.
Winter wheat, fields of wheat, summer wheat, cream of wheat. There's so much wheat in Kansas, my eyes got a yeast infection.
Yeah.
That comes from the days of when I spent 46 weeks a year on the road.
Is that right?
Yeah, as a comedian. I did that for 8 years.
Wow.
That's because I made my primary residence a black walnut farm in Michigan. So I was a black walnut farmer for fun and no profit. But because it takes forever to grow a nut tree, especially a black walnut. It's a very valuable wood. Anyway, I don't want to go down that whole lane of kooky farming.
Right.
But, you know, I do have to say that as a farmer.
I was going to say, you could speak from that perspective.
Oh.
Because you were attacked, man. This economy is just, you know, taking your knees and
but
cutting them off.
The economy. I was a farmer whose last name is Gonzalez. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I did all the work on the farm, and then I blamed me for all the problems in the country, and then I still didn't get paid. That's how this country works. I mean, $91 billion. Is what undocumented workers put into services they cannot claim. Last year alone, $91 billion.
Wow.
And they can't even claim it. Now you want to keep immigrants out? Look at the birth rates around the world. They're falling. America does not replace itself in the United States. We're like everybody else. And it's the, you know.
Only Latinos and Latinas.
The Latinos still got the fear of the Catholic Church.
That's
saying,
exactly
breed
right,
more
baby.
Followers.
That's it.
You know?
But that's what's happening. That's why they're under attack, because they're so afraid that this administration is so afraid of this replacement theory, that because they're not breeding, right? And so there's no more little babies popping out in the American population.
Because they can't figure it out.
That's
they can't
right.
figure out how to breed and treat each other as equals in a relationship, because it's the end of patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
All this crap has to happen. This is a disaster that has to happen. So I'm just eating popcorn, watching it unfold. You know, I
waiting
did not
to
succumb
happen.
To patriarchy and misogyny. My mother, born in 1935, unfortunately, she has the programming. She can't see around anything besides supporting her sons.
Yeah.
I can't call myself a feminist because I have sons. Hi, I'm your daughter. You have a daughter. Well, I'm a woman. You're a woman. I made it. You'll make it.
There it
but
is.
But men need extra. They just, you know,
yeah,
life
I think
is
about
hard
it.
For men.
Oh, my God. I think about that, Mimi. I think about my
God.
Brothers. I think about little George. Little George was a little sweetheart of a baby that I grew up with. He was 3 years old. He should have been a girl. He should have always been a girl, and we all knew it. But my mom, with her homophobic self, said, that's why that boy is a little sissy, because he's always with his mother. She's always got him in the kitchen. So all of my brothers had to take turns taking out the trash, and I had to do the housework because that's what girls do. And I was like, well, you must be crazy, lady, because, you know, that's your bull crap. It's not mine. But that was the thing. And I thank George. I thank little George.
What'd he do?
Because little George introduced me very early on to gender identity.
Oh, beautiful.
He should have been a girl. And we all knew it. He was one of us. All the little girls in the neighborhood, he was one of us. He got picked on throughout school, throughout high school, my George. But George gave me, he instilled in me this that everyone should be treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing about gender identity, you know, and imagine a little girl. I knew that from the very beginning that, you know, we're not just stamped with this idea. My mother helped, of course, drive that home with all of that crap, with me having to do the dishes. Get in there and do the dishes. And I would do the dishes and I wouldn't do the pots and pans. And she would go, you said the dishes. You didn't say anything about pots and pans. So we have a way.
Technicality, Mom.
We have a way. Talking about
it.
Your mom. But check this out, Mimi. So Liz is one of our producers for the Sunset Music and Comedy Festival.
Liz Borden of Lizzie Borden and the Axes.
Lizzie Borden and the Axes. Lizzie said, wait a minute, Mimi's my sister. I said, what are you talking about, your sister? What are you talking about?
Oh, here's what she's talking about.
Wait. Tell me what she's talking about.
Her mother was married 7 times.
Oh, my God.
My father was married.
Her already.
Oh, yeah. And you do love Betty. Wait until you meet Betty. She's pretty fantastic.
I love it.
Her mother was married 7 times. My father was married 10
oh my
times,
God.
10, 10, not 10 times 10, 10 times. Now, people think I'm exaggerating because I'm a comedian, and I'm like, no, I'm a comedian because I'm laughing at the pain. I'm trying to. He was married 10 times. What did my father do for a living? If you have your irony binoculars on, take them off. This will blind you.
What is it?
Psychiatrist.
Oh, my God.
I used to say, Dad, make an appointment with yourself. And one of those marriages between my dad's 10 and her mother's 7, our parents were married to each other.
Oh, my God.
So that made us legitimately stepsisters
right.
for a moment in time. But we are truly sisters under the skin, even. You know, we're both Pisces.
There it is.
And Liz is a superstar. I mean,
yes, she is. She's a superstar.
She is incredible. That woman is a lifelong, consistent artist, singer, songwriter, musician. She's always in bands, and she has been in bands
Since she was a little girl.
Oh, my gosh. Since she was 16. And right. We're not going to say how many years ago that was because, you know,
there it is.
I know.
So let me tell you.
She's fantastic.
Your papa was a Rolling Stone, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And then you happen to be from Detroit.
Yeah.
So let's give it to him.
Papa was a Rolling Stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Go, baby.
And when he died, all he left us was alone.
Get down, Mimi Gonzalez.
Okay, now I'm not a singer.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I can yell in tune, but I'm not really
I love it.
Singer.
So what was it like growing up in Detroit?
I grew up, now I have to admit, for anybody from the Detroit area.
Okay, here we go.
Metro Detroit. I'm not from Detroit proper. I'm not a proper Detroiter. I'm downriver. I'm a downriver rat.
Downriver rat.
Now, you see, the bottom part of Detroit, it goes Detroit, River Rouge, where the giant Henry Ford River Rouge plant is.
Oh.
And then you got Melvindale, Lincoln Park, and I was in Allen Park.
So is this where the farming, is that farmland?
Oh, that ain't farmland. No, no,
oh,
no.
No.
You know, Detroit sits on the second largest salt deposit in the world.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
There are salt mines in Detroit. They used to take donkeys and mules a mile down. Now,
were you a salt miner?
No, no. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a psychiatrist. And then my mom was a very angry single parent. angry.
Papa was married 10 times.
Listen,
of course
where was
he?
He was on the north side of Detroit in St. Clair Shores with wife number four.
Right.
You know, who, five, that is, wife number five. Because, if he made a child, even if he wasn't married, and the person was a client, I still count that as a marriage. And they were in.
So you have a lot of siblings.
Oh.
So somebody in this audience could be your
very
sibling.
Well, listen, todos Latinos somos primos. All Latinos are cousins. You know?
Oh, there
especially
it is.
Especially with my father. I probably do have siblings in every room.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But what we know of, he made seven children, all boys.
Oh, wow.
One girl.
Oh, wow.
My brother Hector, so gay.
so he's almost a girl.
Sort of. No, that's just a joke.
We don't want you to get in trouble.
Yeah, I don't use his real name. But of all my father's children, my gay brother and his partner have the most successful relationship of all. They've been together over 20 years.
Oh.
They're married even.
There you go.
Hector and Manuel, not their real names. Used to protect their identity.
I love it.
But all boys and one girl, and I'd just like to say, it is natural testosterone.
Yeah.
And this goatee I got from being born with a lot of tea in my system.
Well, he was pushing out a lot of that.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Well, that's a cool thing. So we're talking about laughter as medicine, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't thank you enough for dropping in and making us laugh, because we need to laugh. So I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Right? So your dad was a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You know, we just found that out. Laughter is medicine. If you were a surgeon or if you were a doctor, what would you be? Would you be a surgeon? Would you be a pharmacist? Would you be a psychiatrist?
I got it.
Okay, go for it.
I would be, I just know this is not even funny, but I do know that I would have gotten a PhD in comparative literature, and I would have compared pre-literate to the beginning of literacy, because so many traditions come from oral traditions. So
right.
many primitive people have stories, and what happens when you go from pre-literate, you've got thousands of years of stories, and then it comes into writing. That's where I would be fascinated. I would compare an African continent to Turtle Island, this continent. And I just think that would be fascinating. But to be more of a laughter as a medicine.
You would be a PhD doctor.
I'd be a PhD doctor.
Okay.
I would have been a scholar. But you know what? I could have gone a lot of ways. And as a lesbian identified bisexual, I've gone all of them. I've gone all the ways. If I had to be a somatic physical doctor to the human situation that we are, I think the most complicated doctor is an endocrinologist.
Right.
Because those are our glands, these that are secreting these hormones, and they're glands throughout our body, and they're really complicated, and they're really weird. And you can adjust and adapt and change. And what happened? Like, what would be the best way to be human on this planet? What would be the best way? I personally think it's being an omnivore, but being an omnivore who has a conscience. So that means if I want to eat meat, which I do, I love pork fat.
You're okay? A meat eater, a pork. You're a little pig girl.
I'm a little piggy.
I love my pig.
Let me tell you, if we need a sponsor, I'm going to go to Cardenas, because Cardenas Markets actually carries the real chicharrone.
Really?
Oh, my God.
The chicharrone?
Oh, my God. You think you know what a pork rind is? You don't even
you
know
don't
until
know
you've
nothing.
Seen skin,
period dot,
meat,
you don't
and
know
fat.
Nothing.
Oh, squeeze a lime, a little hot sauce.
So we're sitting here talking about
pork
rind. Pork and yeah. You know, the but yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But that's what, I think that's what makes getting through it worth it, right? To be able to talk politics, have some fun, bring it mm-hmm. down to a real level, bring it down to real people. Let's talk about what's going on. It's like, you know, we do this thing where we give away instruments to kids, one of our
thank
schools.
You. Thank
well,
you.
It's just, you have to find something to do that brings you some joy and gets you off of the craziness, right?
Exactly.
One of our schools is Painted Hills Elementary School over in Desert Hot Springs. I was talking to the band teacher there, and Ice came knocking at the door, honey, knocking at the door. And he said, you know what? They keep the door locked. So you got to come. They come once a week. But they came knocking at the door to come and pick up people. It is just amazing to me. And what happened is he said, you got a warrant? Without a warrant, I'm not opening up this door. But I was just having lunch at a place. It was empty. It's where all of the gardeners go mm-hmm. to this one Mexican restaurant. And I said, where is everybody? Why is this place so empty? Ice came in and raided it. So, I mean, it's just amazing that this kind of, that we're living in this kind of disappearing people space right now. Whatever you believe happens with the immigrant situation here, you know, because we have people across the aisles that think that there are too many people are taking, you know, it's just like people are taking my jobs away. So there's either you're lazy and you don't want to work, or you're taking all the jobs. Which is it? Make up your mind. But those masked people coming in, snatching people off the ground. How do you get through that as a Latina? And because any of us can be stopped at any time.
That's right.
To do that, any of us.
Especially
can be
now
stopped.
With the Supreme Court ruling, I can be stopped because of what I look like.
That's exactly right.
And then
right.
You see my last name, Gonzalez Barillas, on my, you know, or Gonzalez Barillas on my license.
Right.
And I have to remember, as I'm trying to negotiate the truth of the country that I am a citizen of.
Right.
I have to remember, who was one of the best presidents we've had? FDR. Now, FDR really pulled people out of the Depression. Also did some dastardly things toward Japan and blew off atomic bombs, because it's always easier to kill people of color.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put an atomic bomb on Germany. They bombed the world out of Germany, but they didn't drop atomic bombs on them.
That's right.
Like they did Japanese. Mm-hmm. FDR, a great president, trying to pull us out of the Depression and giving people jobs and creating Tennessee Valley Authority and the Conservative Conservation Corps, where people built things in the country. But FDR also gave us internment camps.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes are wide open.
Right.
I know exactly what could happen to me. And anybody, and people who look way more like what they are, which is indigenous mm-hmm. people. Mexican, Central, and South American people are brown indigenous people. They are the Indians of this land.
Right.
It's their freaking land. But you know, California, a state that I rushed to become a citizen of, considering what's happening in the country.
Right.
In California, there are old laws on the books that said if you are Mexican, you do not get to own land. I mean, this is not a surprise to you.
We're going to have to bring that one out, honey.
Come
and
on,
have
Palm
some discussion.
Springs and what they did to the black folks.
Look at that.
Come on.
Section 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't shut my mouth up. I have lost work in the last year because I refuse to call what's happening in Palestine and Gaza and the West Bank and any other occupied territory, anything other than what it is. It is a genocide.
It's genocide.
And that's what it is. And I've been fired. And you know what? Okay. Just as these Palestinian poets and authors at the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, AWP, was in L.A. this year in March, I went to the panel where the Palestinian authors were, and they said, you will be fired, but you know what? You will also get work.
Right.
There will be other work.
That's right. And you have to take that risk,
yeah.
just like they did at the CDC. So
yes,
she said, I'm not, absolutely mm-hmm. not,
yeah.
the integrity. I am not going to stand for this quackery.
Crackery.
That's right.
Not quackery. Crackery. I love it.
That's right.
Sounds about white.
That's right. Crackpots. Those crackpots over there. She said, I'm not having it.
Wow.
And the staff walked out with her. Do they have mortgages? Yes, they do.
Mm.
But we have to take a stand. Is that easy for me to say? Did I have a $200,000 a year job that I walked away from? No.
Mm-mm.
Would I have? I hope to think that I would have, because I, you know, if I was making $200,000 for a long period of time, I would have a lot of money in the bank, so I would be okay, you know, for a while.
Oh, you one of those?
I'm one of them.
I
would have some money
save?
In the bank. Hey, let me tell you.
Teach me.
So, but you know, this is the things, I mean, this is what we have to go through, right? We
mm-hmm.
have to really weigh what's happening in the world, and we have to find ways to uplift people to say, yes, we can fight, because you feel like you're just being knocked down every day. Mm. And but really, 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 let me just bring it down. No, really, really. People like you, and when I say that, comedians, people who bring that fire, people who, Jimmy Kimmel, Wanda
Kimmel.
Sykes, Kimmel.
You got an invisible bee living in your head.
I do. Jimmy Kimmel, Wanda Sykes,
mm-hmm.
those types of comedians.
Rosie.
And Rosie,
mm-hmm.
that challenge the power.
Dave
that,
Chappelle.
That's right. And absolutely.
Hannah Gadsby, you know.
Keep it going, because that's what we need.
That's right.
And they feed it to you with humor. And you feed it to us with humor. And this is how we're able to get through it. This is how we're able to take it, because a lot of people have tuned out of television. A lot of people won't watch the news. It's too much. But, you know, you can tune in and hear it with some humor. You can hear it with song. I'll sing it to you, baby.
Mm.
I'll sing it to you. I'll pick up a mic and I'll talk about it. Strange Fruit, I'll talk about it.
Mm.
Mississippi Goddamn, I'll talk about it. Those are the things that we have to do. Those are the things as artists that we have to bring to people, so that it's palatable, so that we can get through it. Because otherwise, you know, it would be too much to get through.
It's just so extreme. I don't understand. Even though Dr. King warned us, he said, you want to see the most segregated place in America? It's on Sunday in church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though people who claim that they follow their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was a Jew. Hello, you people who are anti-Semitic. The man
was a Jew.
You're following Jewish teaching. You know, it comes from the Jewish Torah, are the first five books of the Bible. I don't know why they don't get it. The level of selective focus, it's too much cognitive dissonance for me. And luckily, I had some great therapy, which says dialectic behavior therapy, which says two opposite things can be true. You know, people can believe they follow their Jesus, and they can also hate each other and hate their neighbor, even though that's not what Jesus taught. You know, they can hate Jews because they're completely blind to the fact that they're following one. I thank the goddess and thank people like you, real artists, to bring back things like Nina Simone. What's the song? Alabama got me
so upset.
Tennessee makes me lose my... and then there's Kentucky, but Mississippi, goddamn!
It's just fabulous.
It really brings us forward.
John, can we drop that in,
Drop that riff right in there.
Drop it like it's hot, baby. Man. Drop it like it's hot. Maybe you're coming to...
I am coming to Sunset Music and Comedy Festival. I get to be on the launch night.
I want to know, first of all, let me check this out. So that show on Thursday night, it's at the Agua Caliente Casino.
I feel so lucky. I've seen that stage. It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful stage.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, check this out. So we've got, it's called Roberta Flack, The Homecoming. And Roberta Flack has died this year. She died earlier this year. So she's coming home
strumming
to this sort of smoky lot. There you
fingers.
Go. Go, girl.
One time, two times. And then we got the update in there, you know. Killing me softly with her song. Killing me softly.
There it
is. And then I'll sing. I might even bring my genre nonconforming art form that I've created called Punchlines and Poetry.
Oh, well, I was wondering what you were going to bring.
I could do a poem for you.
I was wondering what you were going to bring. Because, you know, because we've got some surprises in there. So it's really wonderful because every night of the festival, there's comedy and music, right? And so you're kicking it off on Thursday night in this smoky jazz room with a bunch of dead divas.
Well, so, four singers.
Yeah.
In front of me. I cannot wait. I hope that I go in front of them, actually, because you got to end on music. Music is the high note.
You got to set it up, baby.
I'll set it up.
And so you got to set it up. That's the whole thing. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to you.
Me too.
Mimi and I have worked together overseas on the ships and blah, blah.
Years.
Yeah.
We've got years. Jay?
Absolutely.
I think I remember you, though. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe before I saw you on a cruise ship, did I see you in Provincetown for Women of Color Weekend?
Yes.
You know, the first one was 2007?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's right. It's been a while.
And I will thank that white producer for that.
Yes,
you know, for exploiting the labor of women of color who were already there. God, I use that word. She'll hate it. But you know what?
A little humor.
I said it!
A little humor.
Just using the talent that was there. And I have to say that she did bring really great talent. She, not just the talent that was there, Karen Williams and myself, but she brought, I learned about you. I learned about the black lesbian mayor of Gary, Indiana.
Oh, yes.
I learned about the black lesbian mayor of Cambridge.
There you go.
And CeCe Carter, a great poet.
That's right.
So, okay, producer, original producer, no longer, because you got wise and realized that the Women of Color Weekend has to be run by women of color. but she did... I will say that she had great intention, and then,
well, I always think everybody's got a little color in them. You know what I mean? Well, everybody.
The blueprint is the black female body. Black woman is God. Did you ever see that exhibit?
I didn't see that one.
Oh my God! You know what? It's changing. I saw it 7 years ago in San Francisco.
Yeah,
Museum of Modern African diaspora, MOMAD in San Francisco. Black woman is God. Oh my God. God, you're the blueprint.
There it is.
I mean, that's what freaks them out.
Well, I mean, it's true. The Macronial Eve. That's it, honey. We all come from her DNA.
That's y'all.
You know, I did a story on her for my newsletter and lost some subscribers. They were like, this is the first time I've ever had anybody curse me out
come
in an email.
On.
That's bullshit. What the hell are you talking about? They were just got so upset.
Put me on
at
that newsletter. I need to be.
It's like,
I need to say.
Know? Well, this is
yes,
why
ma'am.
This is
hallelujah.
So cool. That is why this is so cool, because this, we can talk about that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
This is a platform where nothing is off the table, where we can talk about what we are thinking about, what everybody else is talking about. We can bring it in. It can come in serious. It can come in with some humor. It can come in conversation. You can swing your hips while you're doing it, baby. Period. Dot. I mean, really, it's just that simple.
You know what? I'm down.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm up for it and I'm down. You call on me anytime and I will gladly. I would like to share a poem. Now, we all know about the Michigan Women's Music Festival.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yes, we do.
Which was a super duper event that lasted for 40 years.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That centered women. Women built a city in the woods and eventually bought that land. 651 acres. That's more than a section.
Oh, it is.
And
honey.
Those women went in there and that crew built it, built the stages, built the everything.
You're right.
The stacks, all the sound and lighting, you know, on 1, 2, 3, the day stage, the night stage, the acoustic stage. I mean,
everything.
Everything. You know Edwina Lee Tyler in A Piece of the World? Edwina Lee Tyler was the godmother of drum.
There you go.
Edwina Lee Tyler just passed this year also, and she could teach you how to drum. I went to New York, thank you to the Boricuas of New York, which is in this poem I'm going to read. Edwina Lee Tyler, I went out to Brooklyn, Park Slope, and here's this little black woman who's got a big djembe.
Yeah.
Now there's 13 of us, so she went to each one of the women in the circle and gave us
a drum circle.
Mm-hmm. And she said, this is what you play. And then this is what you play. That's what you play. She gave 13 different beats to every drummer there. And then she went off. And if you messed up, oh, does she look at you?
Side eye. There's that side eye, people.
And that I could cut.
That's it.
Know?
That's it. That's that side eye your mother used to give you at the dinner table. She said something
this
wrong.
This is the mother of drumming looking at you like that. And Edwina, all the men could not. The men who were playing drums in Park Slope were like, they just came up, looked, and turned and skulked away. It's like, you are not touching this woman. She is the drum. So I'm bringing her up because I learned about her at the Michigan Women's Music Festival. This poem is
so
called...
So this is a tribute to the Michigan Women's
The Future Music is Female, The Future is Black Girl.
Oh, cool. Cool.
I didn't really know until they invited me into the Women of Color tent that I wasn't white. Because I am that, too. The university admissions office gave my last names, Gonzalez Barrias, the first one ending in EZ, to the EEO office, who notified me of my minority status. Black women at the walk tent brought me in, gave Latinas time and space to workshop, reflect our faces in each other's eyes. Black women on the Michigan Women's Music Festival land showed me the way to myself, to my sisters y mis hermanas. Saw me and gave me un abrazo y lo bendición de lo bienvenido.
Mm.
Some white women scowled, under breath complained, respected with resentful shrugs while I entered the tent welcome and understood for the first time privilege. The future is female. The future is black girl.
Oh, drop the mic, baby. Period.
Kamala is my president. Kamala was robbed. Kamala was rigged out of the gig.
Kamala, baby, she's just dropping some hot stuff right now. She's dropping some shade. You better believe it.
I'm ready to join that book club and talk about that with you.
We're going to do a book club with Kamala. So let me tell you this. Mimi, tell us where you're going to be.
I'm kicking off the four nights of Sunset Music and Comedy Festival during Palm Springs Pride Weekend in November 6 through 9, 2025. It's on like a good song.
Y'all better get those tickets
get
now.
Get your tickets.
www.sunsetmusic.org. Get them before they sell out because it will sell out. And particularly after you hear this. Bam! Boom. Who was that chick? Who was that chick dropping that mic like that? That's what you're going to want to do.
Come on.
I'll tell you what, Mimi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jay. This has been a blast, baby.
This has been a blast.
I can't wait. You're here.
You're here now.
I am here and I'm coming for more.
That's right. Coming back for more, Jay.
I love what you do. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for including me in this, the Roberta Flack homecoming night.
It's going to be a blast. I'm so thrilled.
During Pride Week.
Let me tell you something, baby. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. John is our baby wop up in this joint.
Thank you, number one engineer queer.
I love it. So that's our show, beautiful people. Remember, this mic is sacred ground where our voices are heard, our laughter is loud, and the truth stands tall. Politics, culture, conversation sealed with a period dot.
Woo! Testify, Jay.
Oh!
Period Dot with Sweet Baby Jay is a presentation of the United America Network. This podcast is available on most major podcast portals and always at unitedamericanetwork.com. If you'd like to share feedback, please send email to sweetbaby.j@unitedamericanetwork.com. That's sweetbaby.j@unitedamericanetwork.com. And be sure to subscribe from your favorite podcast service so you never miss an episode. The United America Network. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.